Parshas B'Shalach. The Sedra begins by saying, "Vayehi B'Shalach Paro Es Ha'om," and Paro sent the people out. "V'lo Nocham Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim Ki Karov Hu," and Hashem did not lead them by the way of the land of Plishtim, literally because it was near. And Rashi gives one shot for Ki Karov Hu. And the Rosh Hashiva Shlita mentions another pshat, that the point is, why didn't Hashem lead them by this shortest route? It's because it was too close from the Yetzias Mitzrayim. As we know, many times we've said it, the Zohar says they were in the 49th Madrega of Tumah. 50th Madrega is the point of no return. And Baruch Hashem, they were zoche to be taken out of Mitzrayim. But there was still much to be worked on till they get to the Madrega, for instance, to get to Har Sinai. And that's another pshat in the 49 days, the 7 weeks from Pesach to Shavuos, each symbolizing another Madrega of the Tumah that they had to get out of, that they were in. So the point is that they were still too close to that low level that they were in, and therefore that they didn't have the emunah so strong that they could have passed the test of seeing the Plishtim come out, the armies of the Plishtim against them, if they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Even though they've seen so many nisim, and we would think, because being Monday morning quarterbacks, how could they possibly have thought that, so to speak, anybody could touch them if they're experiencing what they experience in Mitzrayim? But the point is, again, being in that low madrega that they were on, in one sense, even though they were tremendous according to their madrega, don't forget the door of the midbar, the door that received the Torah, the door deya, Chazal called them, that they had to be an unbelievable door to be worthy of getting the Torah. But even so, again, according to the Madrega they were on, they still weren't steadfast enough in the Emunah to understand Hakol Yachol, and there is nothing that's impossible for Hashem to do. And therefore, that's why Hashem didn't lead them by this shortest route. I would say, you can also say for the door, that was like also we see by Yaakov Avinu, "Katonti mikol hachasadim." So that was also what they were going through in their minds, that Enoch and Ami, Hashem they saw, was all powerful, infinite. But were they deserving? Were they still deserving to be taken out of Mitzrayim and also to have a nes continue against the army of the Plishtim? They knew the Madrega they were on also. Rosh Hashiva Shlita also points out that we can say that the Pasuk starts by Yehi, as we know that the Gemara says by Yehi is a Lashon Tzar. And this is part of the Tzar that we can learn. V'shalach paro. The point is, when they saw that it was Paro that had to give in, Hashem could have frozen, so to speak, the Egyptians and marched the people out any time he wanted to, of course. But they saw that until Paro gave in, they didn't go out. Hashem had to make him give in and say, please go out already. So what they felt, we can say, is that they weren't worthy enough that they should go out without Paro's consent. And therefore, seeing that, it hit them. Well, it could have hit them, because that's why Hashem is not leading them that way. The Eretz Pelishtim coming there, and the armies of the Pelishtim going out to meet them, again, they would have this thought that maybe they are not going to be able to overcome them, and they would run back to Mitzrayim. One of the things the next pasuk says, that v'chamu shemalu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. So one pshat, as Rashi brings down, that only 1/5 of the total that were in Mitzrayim came out now. The other 4/5 being killed in the plague of darkness, so the goyim should not know, and these were not worthy enough to be taken out. They didn't have the emunah that they should have had. And actually, Rashi brings Yechezkel from the Medrash also, that there's two other opinions that say that V'chamu Shem was 1/50th, and another one, V'chamu Shem, 1/500th of what was in Mitzrayim. And of course, there's the pshat, as Rashi also brings, that they were armed, they went up armed in case of any contingency of battle to come prepared. And Rav Moshe Zatzal in Darash Moshe points out that l'chora, you can ask, why did he even take any arms? Just like they didn't take supplies of food with them, they had the emunah, Hashem's going to take care of them. So why not have the same emunah as far as taking implements of war? And Rosh Hashiva Zatzal explains that this teaches us a very important Hashkafa principle. We know from the Gemara it says, Ein Simchan El Nes, we're not allowed to rely on a miracle. And therefore, whatever we have to do in order to alleviate, solve a problem, we have to do whatever in our power, not just say, Hashem will take care of everything. That's not the proper way. It's like the story told of the man who has so much faith in Hashem when his city is flooded and they're warning people to go out, leave the town, leave the city. And he says, I have faith in Hashem, He will save me. And the floodwaters are rising and they're coming with boats to get the people out. And he refuses to get in the boat. He says, I have faith, Hashem will save me. And the waters are getting higher. He's on top of the roof and they're coming with helicopters. And he refuses. He says, I have faith, Hashem will save me. And he drowns. And he comes up to Shemayim. And he says, Hashem, what happened? I had faith in you. Why didn't you save me? Hashem says, I gave warnings. I sent boats. I sent the helicopter. That's what the Torah is showing us. That we have to do everything in our power and not depend on miracles. Once, of course, we do everything in power, we have to have that bitachon emun Hashem will do the rest. Whatever humanly possible we did and we can't do anymore, then of course is when the emunah clicks in. Should click in. So therefore, they understood they can never carry enough provisions indefinitely for the midbar, so they take for the road, but not more than makes sense. Whereas armaments, they have to take just in case of war. That no matter what, they can't depend on a miracle. Pasuk Yutes says, "Vaykach Moshe atzmos Yosef imo." Moshe himself took up the bones of Yosef, of course, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the Moshe Zatzal in Dorash Moshe says, "You can learn another pshat in that atzmos Yosef." That what Moshe took up with him was the atzmus, the essence of Yosef. Meaning that, as we know, the biggest kavod of a mace is the one who's maspid him. Mida keneged mida. As he was great, so the bigger the kavod would be the greatness of the one who's maspid the mace. And that's what the pasuk is showing us here also. That Yosef was zocher, and of course it goes hand in hand mutually. Moshe is zocher to do this mitzvah of the kvoda mace because of the humility, the anivus, the tzidkis of Yosef. And of course, as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu became the Anav Mikol Adam, the biggest Anav. He learned well from his forefathers. He learned well that he took the essence of Yosef and expanded upon it on his own to become the greatest Anav. And as, of course, the Gemara talks about, how Moshe Rabbeinu took care of this . Then we have in Perek Yudalit Pasuk Hei, it says, "Vayugad l'melech Mitzrayim ki barach ha'am." It is told to the Melech Mitzrayim that the people ran away. "Vayefarich l'ava paro v'avdor l'am, v'yomu mazos asinu kishlachnu es Yisrael mi'avdeinu." Rashi says that he sent spies with them. And once the 3-day period that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, said that they would go for 3 days, leave Mitzrayim, and he saw that they didn't return, that's what's getting him part of it anyway, to have a change of heart. We can ask, L'chora, Paro's right. They made a condition. They said 3 days, So what's going on? You should have every right now. But I would say the answer is, even if he has that right, but to go out with the intention of destroying them, with the intention of killing them out, that's going too far. Even if an agreement is made, send out a delegation to appease first. That's one of the problems. Another problem, another point that we can say, and this is from the Rosh Hashiva Shlita, that we see actually that even though they talked about the 3 days, but when they sent them out for good. They wanted to get rid of them, and it was the kavana, lech l'shalom, good riddance, giving them kelim, even what they didn't ask for, the jewelry, clothing. Please, we don't want this headache anymore. So therefore, it's a lot of sheker to claim this when you yourself now went against it. When the army of Paro is coming towards them, in Pasuk Yud Aleph they say, Vayomram, well actually the Pasuk Yud before that, Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael Hashem, Zaka crying out, Loshon Tefillah, one of the Loshonos of Tefillah, the Ten Loshonos, that the Medrash talks about. And to Moshe Rabbeinu, they complain in the next pasuk, Kamabli ain't kvarim b'misayim l'chachtonu l'amuz b'midbar. So Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out, to the Bnei Yisrael's credit, that we see that to Hashem they didn't have the complaint. They were misbaloed to please help them. To Moshe Rabbeinu though, they are having that complaint, bringing up that, so to speak, as a human being, maybe he made a mistake in the directions he was given, or the leeway that he had, and therefore, now that this is happening, as far as the bus of a dumb, what they have to do, they're complaining to their leader. And the truth is, we can also add, we don't see them taken to task for this complaint. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem yilachem lechem batem tachrishum. Don't worry, Hashem will take care. And in the first pasuk of Shlishi, he says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Matir Tak Eloi, Daber Bnei Yisrael v'Yisrael." What are you? Again, that Lashon Tefillah. Why are you davening to me? Speak to the Bnei Yisrael. Let them go. They can go into the Yam. So we can ask, of course, a big question. In a situation like this, just as Bnei Yisrael daven to Hashem, shouldn't the Kal V'Chomer, so to speak, the leader, as a leader, an example, daven to Hashem also? So how could be any complaint against Moshe for that? And I would say that Rashi, with one word, answers our question. In Pasuk Tezvav he says that Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo es ata laharich b'tfila. It is not a time now to daven along Shmona Esrei, laharich, to lengthen. A person has to know how much to talk also. Not only when to talk, but what to say. And again, always according to the madrega of the person, what's expected of him, that's how he's judged. And therefore, Hashem is telling Moshe, Ad Kan, they're davening too long. Enough. Time to now do what has to be done. We have two psukim that are basically the same, but two changes which are very interesting. In Pasuk Chav Beis it says, "V'yavo b'nei Yisrael b'tzochayam b'yavasha v'amayim lehem chamam iminyam u'mismolam." And in Pasuk Chav Tes, "V'bnei Yisrael hoku v'yavasha b'tzochayam," etc. But we see in the first Pasuk, it says, "B'nei Yisrael went b'tzochayam in the sea b'yavasha and then dry land." Whereas in the second pasuk it says they went in dry land and in the sea. In the first pasuk also it's spelled choma fully with the vav, and in the second pasuk without. And as the Rosh Hashiva points out, we see from the midrashim the answer. As we know, that the yam didn't split right away. There had to be a leap of faith, so to speak. That if Hashem is saying, you don't have to worry, go into the Yam, and you'll be taken care of. And the Medrash says that Nachshon ben Aminadav was the first to jump in. He led the way. And once he jumped in, then it split. Whereas the other Bnei Yisrael, even though they followed him, but it was already split. And that's the point of the pasuk. There was of Bnei Yisrael those who went in b'so chayam. And we can say, even if it's the learn, we would learn that it's, let's say, Nachshon alone, we can say that it's just comparing him here, to like as if all Bnei Yisrael, he had that madrega because of what he did. He had the tzchus and mezakeh Klal Yisrael. But in the other pasuk, the rest of them already, it was the abasha. And as far as the choma, because again, there was a chema, wrath. Why? As the Medrash says also, because there was a point here where the Satan, the Mekatreg, is saying, why should they be Zoche not to be drowned in, like the Mitzrayim? They were avoid the Zoronix. These are avoid the Zoronix. Why should one be over the other? Or, if they're going to be saved, so should be the Mitzrayim. And therefore it says that there was this chema, but Hashem answered the Satan, true, but they are now that the madrege is not so good as it should be. But miminam mitzmolam, I see that there will be in the future they themselves, their future generations are worthy. The Am that will receive the Torah on Har Sinai, they are worthy for their future to be saved. In Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Gimel, when again the Bnei Yisrael are complaining, and they say, complaining of lack of meat. We can ask a big question. We know all the animals and everything that they had. How could they complain about something like that? And Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains that we can say that you want a freebie. We understand people. They want to keep their wealth. They can have a freebie. for free, more, and keep what they have, they certainly want. And we can say that it's pshat of the complaint of Bnei Yisrael. And we can especially see why they are taking to task for those. And as we know, B'Shalach comes out. It's called Shabbos Shira because of the Shira, of course. And we all know about the birds, Minig B'Yisrael, to feed the birds, of course, when there's an Erev, and we're they're incumbent upon you, Echayis, let's say, to feed your animals. So one of the explanations given in the Parsha that the birds were zeichir for this, because when Dasan and Avirim, they tried to show that Moshe is a liar, and they secretly spread out mon so they should see it Shabbos morning, even though Moshe said there won't be any. And the Medrash says that the birds came and ate it all up, and that's why in the morning they did not find any mon, which was planted by Dasan Avinim the night before. Parsha ends, as we know, with the Parsha of Amalek. Amalek coming as an einish, punishment for what Bnei Yisrael, the lack of Emunah. And as we know, Amalek is always looking for the weak point, like any enemy. And in his arrogance, and it's vicious, looking to break down the Emunah, to break down the Shmiras, Torah and Mitzvahs that the Bnei Yisrael do, that protects them. And he looks for any opportunity. He goes against the basic Emunah that Hashem controls as destiny and Hashem controls everything, but he in his rishis wants to put forward that we are the controllers of our own destiny, and we can go against Chas V'Shalom, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see that from the Pasuk in Kitzetze, when it says Asher Korcha Baderech, as we know, the famous Medrash Rashi brings down, making it cooler. But also it comes from the Lashon of Kevi. Accident. Happenstance. Trying to bring that fool's philosophy that is just coincidence, you make your own destiny. There's no Hashgacha Pratis, there's no Hashgacha Hashem. And of course we know and understand that there's only one way you make your own destiny, by choosing to follow the will of Hashem. Otherwise, all is lost. And as we know, the worst of all middles, Yavi Avos Atume, is Gaiva. Because that leads to, of course, throwing off the yoke of the Torah, of listening to Hashem, and the opposite, of course, anivus, humility, subjugating your will to Hashem's will, which means following the Torah and what Hashem wants of us. And And that's why, as Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out, the gematria of Amalek is 240, the same as Ram, haughtiness. In Yetzer Hashem, we should always choose the path of Anivus, the path that will lead to doing the Ritzayin Hashem Bishlemus, and Kol Olam Kuloi, Tamid Me'atah V'Yad Olam.